It is said, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I heard it. Somebody said so. It's so true, isn't it? It's not out of sight, out of mind. For if there is the affection and the loving ties, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I did not realize it's 4 weeks since I was last here. And so when I came into the house of God, I felt a special joy and a welcome. So I say to all of you, very warm welcome. It's so good to see all of you. Last week, we had 45 in our group going to Pulau Batam. And the sanctuary was filled to overfull. It was such a glorious, happy event as they celebrated their, I've forgotten, 20-something anniversary. It's good to go and see what the Lord is doing in the great country of Indonesia, which is only 1 hour away from us. Then 2 weeks before that, I was in the Philippines, right? So I've written quite a detailed report of what God is doing up in the hilltop. The hilltop is like an oasis in the midst of slum, deprivation, poverty of the worst kind you can ever imagine, where houses are built one on top of the other just to make place for the next people who come in, and build no space, build further forward until they encroach into the road. Amazing thing. And the trip to the airport, which takes 20 minutes here, takes 1.5 hours there. And it is a slow motion movement. So aren't we glad we are in Singapore? But it is good. Travel is a great teacher. When you go there, you see how the other side of the world lives, how our brethren who toil for the gospel, preachers earning $200-odd a month, sing, not US, you know. And they are pressing on. And that gives us a lot of encouragement too. So dear friends, as we pray, remember them. This morning, the topic is special. Not because it sounds anything special, but because of the times. We are living in an age where we must understand these happenings that are spoken of in the Word of God are very real things. And I said to a sister who came in, I said, good to see you. This morning's message has something very pertinent and special for you. And I repeat that to all of you here. Dearly beloved, the message this morning has a special appeal and application to you. You and I who have concerns. Is there anyone here who will say, I have no concerns, worries? Oh, dear friends, worries and these terrible concerns can come upon you any moment, any time. When I came back from our 5 days in Johor, I was 5 days in Senai, a place. By the way, I had spent the first years of my existence in Senai. Amazing. This is a secret. You know where Senai is? Where the airport is. It's 1 hour from Pandan here, 1 hour only. So I spent 5 days in Senai writing about Senai, for that is the opening chapter of my memoirs. So for your information, I finished first chapter about Senai, written in Senai. It's good. Now, what am I trying to say? I say all of us are prone to unhappy happenings. When I came back, one of my staff was on the phone, says, why me? First my grandson, then me, then my daughter, three of us. all three stricken with cancer. Wow. How about it? You say, too bad. I say, true, too bad, too sad. But when it happens to other people, you don't really feel it, true, until it hits very close. So I say, what is the solution? Better doctors? More advanced, latest treatment? Oh, my friends, the answer to that question is today's message. Are you ready for the Lord Jesus? He is the only hope for you and for me and for the whole world. And those who are still without that hope are living in hopelessness. So to all of you, including the sister I spoke to just now, this morning's message is special because it touches on the heart of the matter. You are worried. You have to. You must be. Simply because we all are in the great race of death. Whether you are conscious or not, whether you are young and old or so old, we are all in the one same race of death. Sooner or later it hits. Then what is your answer? What is your solution? Where is your hope? If your hope ends in the grave, I say you have no hope. Of all men, most miserable, hopeless. So this morning's message says, are you ready for the Lord's coming again? Does that ring a bell? You say, oh, you've spoken on that so many times. You're tired of hearing it. Are you tired? Please don't. Because every time you consider this, there is a fresh application to the clinic staff of mine who says, why me? Why me? What is the answer? She is a believer. Thank God she was converted. I say, why you? Because God loves you. Ah, amazing. Because it makes you realize on earth we are exposed to all kinds of things. What is cancer? All right, you don't get cancer. You're still dying. Still growing old. And if that is all your hope, then you are of all men the most miserable, hopeless. So the message this morning is one of hope. To everyone here, sit up and listen. That applies to you. Growing old, surely. But we must have the solution. Where is your hope? Whenever you step into this house of the Lord, listen to the word of God, and acknowledge him as your Savior, there is hope. Hope that comes only with the Lord Jesus. We have read 1 Thessalonians, but you now turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel. This is about the Lord's coming again. And the Lord himself spoke this before he went to heaven. In fact, before he died for us. Matthew 25, verse 14. Here he's speaking about the great kingdom of God, for which we have been given a share. Do you know that? When you come and say, I want to believe on Jesus Christ, and you truly receive him as your Lord and Savior, you have already been given a part in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And here the Lord Jesus himself speaks to us. Can you hear his voice? He's speaking. Matthew 25, 14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. He called his servants. Who are the servants? Answer, do you know? Do you not know? Of course, you and I are the servants. The Lord is now away, and he's called us and committed to us, given to you and me, an assignment. You know what is that assignment? Those of you going to school or remember you went to school, You're given assignments. You got to do certain things in my absence. What are they? Verse 15, to one he gave 5 talents, let's say $5,000. Makes it more understandable, right? To another, 2,000, and to another, 1,000. Each man according to his ability. Then he took his journey and he says goodbye. Now, what do? You have received capital money, 5,000, 2,000, 1,000. And there is a responsibility attached to that money. It's not yours. It's not a gift. It is a commitment. You have to do something with it for the master who is gone away, and you are to do your best. Now, this is it. What are you doing with your 5,000 or 2,000 or 1,000? And the Lord is coming. He may go for a long time, you know. For us, you read the Word of God, you know, Jesus is gone for 2,000 years and he's not come back, and therefore, the world says he'll never come back. What do you say? Please understand, we are living in the very end of history. And the imminence of his coming, it is in our generation very possible. Anytime possible. The whole idea is you must be ready. Whether he comes or not in your lifetime, it does not really matter. But the thing is, if you are not there when he comes, he'll call you before he comes. You still have to face him. So therein is the secret of understanding this message. Are you ready for his coming? Are you ready for his calling? Either way, you got to face him. And he has entrusted you with some capital. What are you doing? This is a question this morning. Now let's see. Verse 16, then he that had received 5 talents went and traded and made 5 other talents. Good man. You're right. You're happy with him. Are you one such 5-talent man? Do you know how to make business? It runs in the Chinese blood, you know. You give him some money, every China man will make money. They know how to do it. It is natural. So I say, dear friends, what have you done with the talents God gave you? Have you done something useful, brought in some profit? That profit is for the master, not for us. Ours is to face him on that day and hear him say, good, faithful servant. Are you ready for that? That is relevant. Now read on. Verse 17 says, the fellow with the 2,000 did the same. He made 2,000. But verse 18, there's a smart one. He says, my master is a very mean fellow. He's so hard on me. He expects so much from me. Although he doesn't do, all he has is money. And I envy him. I don't like him really. And now he's gone, I'll do what I ought not to do. What did he do? Read on, please. He digged in the earth and hid his master's money. He did nothing. And when the master came, what did he say? Verse 24. He says, I knew that you are a hard fellow. You're a miser, you know. And reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not planted or done anything. So I was afraid. Afraid. Who made him afraid? You know, wicked men are afraid for nothing. They fear when there is no reason to fear. And this is that man. I was afraid when I hit the talent in the earth. How foolish. You ever heard of people digging a hole and keeping money there? If it is the dollar note, after a month, you find there's no money there. It's already rotted away. And this is what this man has done. Mind you, in those days, they were all coins. So it's all right. It's a gold coin. Gold, you can keep there for a year. It's still there. So here he says, here it is, sir. You gave me one, I gave you back one. There you are. Now, dear friends, will this be spoken to anyone here? I pray not. I pray that it does not apply to you or anyone here. The Lord said to this third man, "You wicked, slothful, lazy servant, you knew I'd reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not work, do anything. You then should have had the wisdom, the good sense, don't take it to the bank, UOB, DBS, all good. Put it there, they'll give you 2%, 3%, maybe. Even 1% is worth it, better than digging in the ground, you know. Now what do? The rest, you know, he was punished. I said, dear friends, the Lord has gone away. The waiting time may be long, but he has given you tremendous incentive. Doesn't matter. Let the time be long, but I will do my best with his capital sum. If it is 5 years, I will earn 5 years of capital for him, of interest. I'll do my best. Is that you? So here is the first story of illustration of what is happening. The Lord is gone. Don't imagine that he'll never come back. It says in this story, he's gone on a long trip. Let it be long. Doesn't matter. This is not part of the bargain. He didn't say that if I go long, you can do what you like. No. So I said, dear friends, are you trading wisely for him? Now we turn to another passage. These are very pertinent and applicable. Luke chapter 12. Are you ready now for the Lord's return? Luke chapter 12. Again, we are dealing with the words of the Son of God himself. Verse 16. Now here the Lord gives another parable of a young man, very rich. And see what he does with his capital. What he does. Does it speak of you? You may not have the same kind of capital investments done, but read now. Verse 16. Luke 12, 16. Jesus spoke another parable. He says to you, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do? Because my storehouse is too small. Verse 18. I will pull down my barns, build bigger. There I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Is that someone here? Your business is doing quite well. And you're expanding, building more, gathering more and more. Verse 19. Then, he says, I'll say to my soul, first big mistake is to imagine the soul needs a lot of material things. The soul does not need a lot of material things. It needs only one thing. Your soul, my soul, needs only to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to put your faith and trust in him who deals with your soul. How shall I provide for my soul not to accumulate more wealth and to live in a bigger house, have a bigger bank account and those things? They are all right. If you are thinking of your body, they are correct. Yes. But if you think of your body, think, what will happen to this body of yours and mine? Sooner or later, the last breath is taken. And then that piece of body, which is made of meat and bone, begins to rot. In this climate, without air conditioning, within 12 to 14 hours, it smells. And then you are left with a terrible burden to dispose of it. But this man is accumulating a lot of things, materials, for his body. How sad. Dear friends, The Lord is coming and He expects you to be wise, to think not of body. Ladies, all here is temporary. But so many ladies spend so much time every day doing all their concentration is on this area. But forgetting the soul that is so important is the only thing you have, your soul. And this rich man says, ah, now I've got it. What did he say? Verse 19. I say to my soul, what a fool. Soul, verse 19, please. You have much goods laid up for many years. Relax, relax. I say, dear friends, please be wise, be wise. For anyone to say, now I have enough, I got 1 million in the bank, now so relax. I say, how foolish. Thou fool, the soul doesn't need a bank account. The soul only needs a spiritual account with God. How is God's reckoning with you in His bank account book in heaven? It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. Book of Life. That's all you need. If my name is in that Book of Life, I am easy. I'm happy. Are you? Please pause and think. You know, today, Singapore's computer system has your name in that computer system. All our names are in there. Everyone, at the touch of a button, out comes your name and all that you've done in Singapore. If Singapore, this peanut, can do all that, to trace every boy and girl, man and woman, you think our God who made us cannot do it? He's got a book. And what He records in that book is important. When Jesus comes, He will open that big book and say, come, stand, and be tried by what is in that book. That's what matters, not the bank account. But this fool says, now, soul, sit back, relax. Take the next round trip and forget it. And enjoy yourself is later than you think. What a statement. True or false? Half true, half false. Later than you think? Yes, very true. It's later than you think. But relax and enjoy is false. Dear friends, life is not for us to relax and enjoy ourselves for the sake of the soul. Body, yes. That's why I went to Sinai. Relax. I relax there every day. But let us not forget, inside this body is the precious soul. The only thing you have is your soul. And the Lord is concerned with your soul. He came to save your soul. He goes to prepare a place for you. One day that you will have a place there. Now let's see what happened to this man. Verse 20, now this is the thing that counts. God said to this rich fellow, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Then what will happen to all these things which you have provided for your soul so foolishly? So I say, dear friends, let this speak to all of us here today. Maybe that lesson is for someone who has made good in his business, right? Which is good. I say, congratulations. If you have made more money last year, I say, use it wisely for the sake of your soul, for the sake of other souls. For this is how we trade profitably with the talents God has given you. What do you mean by the fellow who had 5 talents and he made another 5? Well, he goes out. And he tells people of the need to look after their souls and to come to the Savior who has gone a long trip, but he is coming back. Get right with God, dear friends. Go and be a witness for the Lord. After all, when he left for heaven, what did he say to the disciples? What did he say? He didn't say, now go and get rich. Prepare for your old age and all. Do well and save and accumulate and expand your business. No, only one thing. You will be my witnesses. I say the same thing to all of us. If you realize the Lord is coming soon, are you doing just what he tells us to do? One thing. Be my witnesses. Go and tell others, the Lord saved me. He can save you. I had a problem. I didn't know the way of life. I was doing the wrong things, living in sin, following the world. Because those people say, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. What they do, they want you to do. And you follow them. Until one day the gospel hit home. Then you knew. Now, go and be my witnesses. This is what is required of you and me. Not to make more money for God. If you do, use it for God. So I ask you, what are you doing with your talents? How many souls have you won for the Lord? Have you told anyone? Now I have come up with this Reason Why booklet. Have you got a few copies? Have you? How many of you have gone to the bookshop? I have printed 26,000 so far. Huh? Have you got even one? And you read it, study it. For this is your talent. You can then go and tell someone, look, dear friends, I have something good to tell you. You need the Savior because you are in grave danger. If you do not have the Savior, come to trust in him as I have trusted in him. You are the witness, not an angel. Angel cannot come down and say, I am here to tell you Jesus died for me. Jesus did not die for angels. So we are the witnesses. Are you witnessing? Are you going forth to save someone while you may? All right, here we are now. Verse 20. May not any of you hear the words of God to say to you on that day, you fool! You fool! Accumulating all the material things for your soul that doesn't need them, and your body has died, is now rotting away in the ground. What is going to happen to all your barns full of all the accumulations, all the things you have accumulated for your future use? The body is rotting already. You cannot use those things. What have you done, you fool? Oh, my friends, awake. In case it is you who is just waiting to enjoy your retirement, what will you say to the Lord on that day when he sees you and say, come, look at your account, your book of life. Verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich with God. Are you rich toward God? Have you a good account with God? And does his book show you have made 5,000 talents for him? Now our last passage is in the book of Peter. 2 Peter. I always love the books of Peter, which are only two. 1 and 2 Peter. And we are on 2 Peter. Does Peter's name ring a bell with you? Remember on the lakeside, after our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, his master, whom he had denied three times, I don't know that fellow. Who are you talking about? I surely don't know him. Only a few hours ago, he said, Lord, you know, I love you. You go to prison, I'll come with you. You die, I'll die with you. And the Lord did not scold him. But the Lord says, after his resurrection, Peter, you really love me. This time, there was no need to swear black and blue that I will die for you. But when the time came, he died for his Lord. You know that. Now he's written us two letters. Wonderful letters. Every time you read, you'll be blessed. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll read from verse 10. Verse 10 says this: to anyone who doubts, who is a skeptic, listen. Peter says, hey, all of you who are doubting, listen. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You ever experience a thief in the night? One thing is very sure, the thief never tells you when he's coming. That's absolutely sure. And this is the same with Jesus. He'll not send you a postcard or email nowadays and say, hey, wake up, I'm coming tomorrow at 3 a.m. You better be ready for me. Then there is no test at all. You've given up the game. The Lord will come at a time when you least expect. And all of us are included in that category. We least expect. But the thing to do is expect the unexpected. All right? That makes you remember better. The Lord's coming is going to be unexpected because it's like a thief. So I say today, when you go home, remind yourself of this. To expect the unexpected, because the Lord is coming at a time you do not expect, when you are very busy with all your work, day in, day out, making money, so busy, pressing on, like the world. They call it the rat race, but you're not the rat. Don't join the rat race. But the Lord will come, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, He will come because He is Lord, Creator, and He is coming back to take an account with His creation. Let me tell you this, there are just two events, just two. Pay attention, please. There are just two events in all of history, two events that affect every single human being on earth. Two events. First one, what? The flood. Noah's time. Everyone was flooded out. But nobody believed Noah's preaching. Nobody believed, except the eight inside the ark. So that one is history. Please, history is written for our instruction. So that if you will take heed and learn from that story and say, ah, if the Creator one time could flood out the whole earth and everyone who was outside the ark was drowned. And He says, in the same way, I will come again and I'm going to judge the earth. At my second coming, it will be judgment for all outside the ark of Jesus Christ. So remember, two events. One is past, one is coming. The flood is history, and the coming of Jesus is history, future. One is history, past, the other history, future. And this is what we are talking about. Now we're back to verse 10. History, future is about to come. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. How this will be, it will be. We cannot imagine it. People all said, atom means impossible to split. This is the meaning of atom, you know that. Atom. A means cannot. Tom means split. They all believe that you cannot split an atom until Einstein's theory was proved. That atom, the smallest particle, was split. And when they split that atom, the energy release was immense, unimaginable. So that when they dropped the first bomb on Hiroshima, it released the effect of how many thousand tons? Thousands of tons of TNT. Boom! In 1 minute, 100,000 human beings evaporated. Now this is how the heavens will pass away if Einstein and his brain people could invent a bomb that split the atom, and in the splitting, killed 100,000 Japanese in 1 minute. Cannot the God who made Einstein and those people, thousands of engineers who invented that bomb, cannot the God who made us destroy the heavens when it comes and the earth? Ask yourself. Yeah, this is what it says. The second part of verse 10, the elements shall melt, break up, dissolve, split. Atom is proved to be a wrong name. It was given in the belief that the atom cannot be split. Now it's split. And atom, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, and all your accumulations, your investments, everything, your wonderful apartment and house will be burned up. What do we do about it? Why do we spend all our time and money doing for those things that shall be burned up? This is a story. This is the meaning of, are you ready when Jesus returns? Be wise. Those things have a limit. Of course, make a comfortable place for you to stay. Drive in a good car. Nothing wrong with that. But have the perspective. See things in the right perspective. I can do so much because I need to live. I have a body to look after. Correct. Absolutely. But that is not all. Your soul is the main thing. And your soul has to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day. And he is the creator. And history tells us there are just two events, only two. One is the flood, is past. One is coming, that is the Lord Jesus' return. Are you ready for the second? And don't say it won't happen, because the first event is to tell you the second event will happen. You understand that? Now read. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. All what things? Everything on earth, the two IRs, the three IRs they're going to build. They said, one not good enough, we have two. Now the two, no, three is better than two. Now the idea is to have three. And all these things are there to attract people. I said, dear friends, please do not act by the eye gate, but act by the brain, the heart gate. May God speak to you in the quietness of tonight, any night. May God speak to all of us to realize that body is not the main thing, but the soul. And the soul must stand before the Lord Jesus when he comes. Are you ready for that day? Are you? Now, verse 11. Seeing then that all your physical, material accumulations, the empire that you can build, shall be dissolved, shall be burned away. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What is this? What is holy conversation? Can you tell me? Philippians 3:20 says, our conversation is in heaven. The way we live, our citizenship, all that matters about us is in heaven, not on earth. What you have on earth is temporary, just enough to get you through your A-levels, to go to university. Nowadays, almost everybody needs to go to some higher institution to study. Because if you don't study, come out, you are unemployable, you know. And we got to live on earth, we got to have a job. So you got to prepare yourselves for this life of 70, 80 years, and then it's over. What do you do with it? My friends, think beyond that. My soul, I must care not just for body, I must also care for my soul. Body will perish, soul does not. Soul goes on. And are you ready to face the Savior when he comes? He says, what have you done with the gospel? with the solution to life's problem is the gospel, nothing else. Not the internet with all the newest inventions. How good if Singapore can find the cure for cancer? You think it's good? Wow. If one of you can become a Nobel Prize for medicine to find the cure for cancer, wow, the whole world will hail you. The savior, everybody will rush to Singapore. Get the cure for cancer has been found. You get double Nobel Prize, you know. Wow, so good. Everybody now free from cancer can live. How long? 70? Good. 80? Better. 90? Wow. What for? 100? See, I'm in the wrong place. Yeah. It's not how long you live. It's how well you fare in your spiritual status. God is not going to come and say, well done, you're now 130 years old. Wonderful. Live on. You will not. That is not God's plan. God has only one plan. All men believe in His Son, who died on the cross not to save you from cancer. He died on the cross for what? To save you from your sin. That you may have eternal life. To live with God. The earth is only a rotating hotel. Revolving hotel. Do you know that? You go to a hotel. We were in the hotel the last 5 days in Sinai. After 5 days, check out, get out. Yeah, that's all. That's a picture of the earth. We are here only in a rotating, revolving hotel. And you are here for 70 years. They say 70 years and 10, very good. If it is 80 years, Moses says it's labor and sorrow. If it is 90 years old, then they say it's the wrong thing to do. So what is the solution? The solution is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel that gives you eternal life, eternal youth, eternal health, never to die, never to worry about cancer, because once you are there in the heavenly home and the Lord says, I go prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again and receive you to myself. That is your ultimate, not this. Not Singapore, no matter how good it is. And don't you underrate Singapore. It's better than America. Who says so? Americans say so. When they come here, they say, I don't want to go back to America. It's so good, so good. You can go out and walk at night. When I went to Washington, my professor Montero was there as the ambassador. He says, Shangwa, be careful. Don't go out at night. You get mugged, you know, in Washington. Wow, this was where? America. Friends, you can walk along the Esplanade every night. You won't get mugged. So this place is so good, so good. Let's make our home in Singapore and live wonderful lives forevermore. No, your evermore is the next few years only. And then where do you go? The Lord is coming. He holds the solution. He holds the key to your whole future. And if you do not get right with Him, you have no future. No future. Paul says we are of all men most miserable. Miserable. I'm not here to tell you how to be miserable. I'm here this morning to tell you how to get right with God, that you will be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He shall change you. Yes. Dearly beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be. Today you don't know, but we know when He appears, we shall be changed to be like Him. That day will say, it's worth it. It's worth believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, because when He comes, you and I will be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you say, how can it be? All boils down to this. Do you believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead? The same power that rose Him from the dead, that raised Him from the dead, will raise you and change you. This is the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less. Be ready for the Lord Jesus when He comes. Verse 12, in closing, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Are you looking for? Are you hasting, meaning to say, accelerating your following the Lord Jesus Christ, working for Him double hard and double speed. Go for him. Go into the mission field for him. Go and be a witness to your friends. The coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be on the fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens, new earth. Wonderful. When you are there, you say, it was worth it all. Worth it to be part of the kingdom of God. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace. Oh, dear friends, there are those who, when he comes, will be in terror, running around like rats, trying to find a place to hide, because all the rich men, the powerful men, will go to the rocks and say, rocks, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. The Lamb is coming back to judge as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, your Savior, my Savior. When you see him on that day, you say, God, Jesus, thank you. Are you ready for that? Today is the time for us to all make right with him and to say, Lord, I give you back my life, my body, my soul, for you to use, for you to send forth as your witness. Are you ready? Are you willing? God help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gospel, the word of God, which tells us the truth and nothing but the truth. May your Holy Spirit impress upon all of us here who have heard this gospel message today to know that we are saved for a purpose, that we may be witnesses, and the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. May all of us here be ready for that great and dreadful day, that on that day we may hear him say, welcome. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.